Hello, world. Welcome to the resistance. Welcome to the vocal minority with Nick and Steve. Thank you for being part of the 48%, the vocal minority. The revolution will not be televised. I repeat, the revolution will not be televised. It will, however, be podcast. Take it away, boys.
Hey, dude, I found out on Sunday that the revolution will be televised. We've been saying it's not going to be televised, but Kendrick Lamar let us know the revolution will be televised.
I'm waiting for that term to be outdated, for my kids to be like, what is televised? What does that mean?
Oh, that's interesting. Never thought of it. Rachel's been saying the revolution will not be televised in a lot of her posts and stuff like that on social media. And my mom was like, Nick, what does the revolution will not be televised mean? I was like, don't worry about it.
It's doing it, Mom.
Right. She did ask me last week for the first time. We were having lunch and she was like, so I gather that you don't really want me to listen to your podcast because you've never really shared with me how to get it. I was like, oh, I'll tell you how to get it. I said, I don't know if it's your cup of tea or not, but if it is, feel free to listen. And I would recommend listening to the second show.
Listen, my mom has started listening again because I had to tell her to stop because, you know, we've matured apparently in the last year or so of this show. We used to talk a lot about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, specifically as it pertains to my life.
Yeah.
And we still dabble with that a little bit, but we've matured a bit, Nick, as we're honing in on the age of 50. So she's been listening. She enjoys the political debate. She said the other day, I really like that there's not that other guy that you're always screaming at on the show anymore.
She didn't like the conflict, huh?
No. So she's been enjoying our more mature back and forth on news and everything. Wow. I think your mom's safe.
That's fantastic. I told her how to get there, so I'll be waiting for her to say, Nikki, I've listened to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, and what a fantastic podcast you have.
I'm waiting for that, too. Quite frankly, the second show's more dangerous. That's where we get into relationship talks and other stuff. Like, this is pretty newsy on the need-to-know news.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I don't know why I even mentioned, like, listen to the sec. I don't even know why I mentioned that. But, yeah, I think more because I'm usually more pissed off on our first show. And I don't like my mom to see me unhappy because it does affect her. So, there. That's maybe why I did it.
Yeah. Well, all of society, or at least 48% of us, are pretty unhappy nowadays. So, yeah, we do two podcasts a week. The first one is your need-to-know news. The second one is more in the pop culture and other stuff, but it's all informative and entertaining.
We've got a webpage you can check out if you're into that kind of thing. Do you swing that way? It's thevocalminority.net, and, of course, a ton of social media sites.
Yep. Fun, fun, fun on the socials. The Beach Boys would be proud. Hey, that's an oldies reference.
Yes.
TikTok, YouTube, Reddit, those are the big ones for us. The Facebook thing, their empire, the actual Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. I don't know why they need three, but they have them. And Blue Sky. Blue Sky's a good one.
Yeah, so go check us out there. And call our comment line. God. Call our comment line, okay?
Maybe we'll play your voicemail if we remember.
Right, dude. They're backing up now. I've got a couple of them. But yeah, we do play your comments at some point in time. 844-48-VOCAL is our comment line. Yeah, I can tell you this, that people are pissed off with us. So, you know, when Steve sets up our social media post, the phone number is on there. So you get to watch a clip that's, you know, a minute long, and then, you know, the phone number is right there. And most of the stuff that play on our social media is our most divisive kind of snippets, right?
Yeah.
So people get opinionated about it, and the last couple of people have been like, what is wrong with you guys, basically?
You know? Some of these Trumpers just can't take a win, you know? I mean, they got their bitch in the White House. They got King Trump, but they're still going after us. And we find it fun. It gives me a political hard-on, so keep coming.
I love to hear conservatives talking about, like, let's end the divisiveness, right? And then they want to fight with us all the time. So I've figured out what that means is you guys fall in line, you little bitches, and stop complaining, and this country will be a better place.
Yeah. Is that what they did for the last 4 years? I don't think so. And they're all such Second Amendment lovers. They don't seem to love or respect the First Amendment, though.
No. Free speech is only a thing that applies to them. You know, all the shit that you would think, like, yeah, I get free speech, dude, but yeah, yelling fire in a crowded theater, it's a dangerous thing. Like, you got to see the point of taking horse medication, you know, like some things we need to talk about.
Yeah, they like free speech when it's stuff they agree with. So, yeah. And that's not what we're spewing here. So welcome to the resistance. The revolution will be podcasted and shared on social media. So enjoy.
Yeah, and you're a part of the vocal minority. Your chance to get vocal, enjoy some insights that we bring to you in a segment we like to refer to as Need to Know News. News you need to know.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Steve Harness. Yep.
Let's start off with the potential end of democracy that is looming. Now, not to bum you all out right away, I know we've been saying that Trump is, you know, an existential threat to democracy, and we've been seeing all sorts of, I don't know, lawlessness and craziness and all that kind of stuff going on. But we are currently teeing up what could be a true constitutional crisis in this country. You know, Nick, we have three branches of government, the legislative, people that pass the laws, the judicial, the courts in our country, and the executive, you know, the White House. The concept our founding fathers set up was that those three are supposed to be checks and balances on each other. No one is supposed to outweigh the other. They're all supposed to do a little checking and balancing of each other.
Yes. But oftentimes we hope for a bipartisan deal of checking and balancing, doing things the right way for everybody in this country.
Or to even not need checks and balances, because neither one of those three is doing anything batshit crazy. But
yeah,
that's not the era we're in. And we've already seen multiple executive orders get frozen or shot down by judges. And I don't know. Like I said, we're teeing up a real crisis here because in these last few days, some of the mega types are starting to speak out and basically say that, why do we have to listen to the judges? Why should we listen to what these courts are telling us to do? And as soon as the executive starts ignoring the judicial branch, then we are in chaos. No more democracy. It's a constitutional free-for-all.
Yes, that's where we're completely screwed, dude, because we have a king at that point, an official king. I know he's a king now, but yeah, that's the example of a dictator, a king.
And MAGA is starting to fall in line with that concept. So Mike Johnson, Skippy, Speaker of the House, says that the courts should take a step back. Slow your roll there, judicial branch. Federal courts should back off and let President Donald Trump do what he wants. House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican from Louisiana, said the courts have stymied a range of early executive actions by Trump, from his bid to cancel birthright citizenship to his freeze on federal grants and the wholesale elimination of federal agencies. Quote here from Mr. Mike Johnson, the courts should take a step back and allow these processes to play out. What we're doing is good and right for the American people, Johnson said at a press conference. Now, again, if it's good and if it's right, the other branches of the government shouldn't have to check and balance you. But we are seeing that happen. And the remark raises legitimate questions about whether the Trump administration would outright defy a court order and plunge the government into a constitutional crisis, which we're seeing right now.
Yeah, we're seeing the beginnings of it anyway. I mean, even with when he froze everything as far as at the USAID, you know, they said, oh, you can't do that. And they said, okay. But a lot of those accounts are still frozen. Like, people can't get into them. People are trying to, oh, okay, they said they're going to let it go through. But they can't get into the portal.
Exactly. So we've seen a judge just today on recording day say that you guys are in contempt of court. I ordered this stuff to be unfrozen, and we have documented evidence that it has not happened. So contempt of court usually starts off with some stern warnings, but the judge did mention that criminal penalties could exist. Like, someone in the Trump administration could end up going to jail over this. And this is what we're teeing up. J.D. Vance defended it over the weekend, and now we got Mike Johnson. I mean, these are two prominent mega Republicans supporting the idea that maybe you should just let the Trump administration do what we want and ignore the judiciary. I don't even know. I don't know how that will end. I mean, literally, I don't know how that would end.
You know what? This is the truth of the matter is now that we have President Musk in the White House, fines don't matter right? So right. It's going to have to be jail time, or it's going to have to be something that hits hard that, you know, you can't buy his way out of.
But this would all be federal, I would imagine. So that would mean Trump could pardon anyone who would go to jail on a federal charge. So this is part of the crisis.
Yeah.
J.D. Vance has said over the weekend that judges aren't allowed to control the executive's legitimate power. They are not allowed to control the executive's power. That is a complete contradiction. Of course they are. It's what the checks and balances are there for. We all have to follow what courts say. Even if it goes to the Supreme Court and you want to ignore it in the meantime, which is not okay, but eventually the judges have to win if they rule one way or the other. And I think we're heading to a scenario where Trump just says, what are you going to do about it?
That's what we were worried about in this election. That's why we were trying to get this message out to people Trump's Project 2025, not only co-author, but believer. He was not officially running on the platform, but we know now, right? I mean, hopefully everybody should know. This is exactly what they said they were going to do. You had this information, dumb fuck.
Yeah, right. We posted a video today about the, you know, this past few weeks of Trump have been the longest 10 years of our lives. And funny. But a bunch of people on the YouTube page right now are commenting like he's doing what we elected him to do. So shut up, you liberals. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I guess if you elect a felon, you expect him to be lawless. But it's pathetic how quickly MAGA's falling in line with the concept of having a king, with the concept of letting him ignore judges. But they are so short-sighted. Do you not think that a Democrat is ever going to be in the White House again? You bitches are going to be whining and moaning when a Democrat gets to be king, do what they want, ignore judges' orders, executive order, this, that, and the other thing. Like, they will freak the hell out. And their short-sightedness is comedic, but we're all going to have to live through it for at least the next 4 years.
I love your positive thinking. You know, I do love your positive thinking that we'll have another election at some point. Oof. Like, you know, this could be it. I mean, this could be what you signed up for. There's all kinds of Republicans coming out right now, and not enough, but a lot of Republican farmers, you know, people that are being affected by what's already happened are coming out saying like, oh, I made a huge mistake. Like, I thought he was just going to make America great again. I didn't know this was also coming with it. I didn't know that it meant that.
Listen, we may be running into some sort of battle where they try to get Trump a third term. But, you know, like we talked about last show, you cannot amend the Constitution without the 2/3 majority. Then the states have to all ratify it, like the majority of states. Like, so there is another election coming. Never forget, the pendulum swings both ways. And the further you pull it in one direction, the further it's going to swing back in the other direction. We've all witnessed it in the last, you know, 30, 40 years. So
yeah,
MAGA is not immune to any of these realities of the system and the universe. They're going to try to dismantle it all between now and then. But I don't think they're going to be able to truly take away the election in 4 years. And yeah, the pendulum swings both ways. So whether it's 4 years, 8 years, whatever, a Democrat will be back in there. And we've now given the president king powers. And I know they're not going to be happy about that.
No, I mean, only while it benefits you will you be happy about that. I think to myself, like, you know, I was a big Obama lover. I know you were as well. If Obama could have become king, like, there would be a part of me that would be like, ah, oh, he stands for everything I believe in, you know, but I believe more in our country than our government or our government. You know, we have to keep it the same way. I don't want a king, dude. I don't want a king because if Obama changes someday, that'll be terrible. And I want everyone to have a little bit of what they want. That's what this country is all about, right?
Right. No, I mean, getting back to actually compromising in government, it's going to have to happen one of these cycles. Because, like I just mentioned, the pendulum always swings both ways. And the further you pull it, the further it goes the other way. We need to slow that freaking pendulum down. We cannot keep doing this whiplash of every 4 or 8 years, you get your way and the other side gets nothing. And then we flip-flop.
Yeah.
One of these days, I hope the next president is either the Democratic version of Trump, just, I don't know, we elect George Clooney and he's just going to enact every liberal policy there is.
Yeah.
Have Bill Gates have an office next door to him and George Soros and whatever. But no, more so what would actually be good for all of us is if we could find someone more towards the middle that could slow the pendulum down. Let's all compromise again. But again, yeah, that's 3 years, 11 months away before we even have a shot at that. So hang tight.
That seems like 30 years to me, dude.
It's going to feel like that. So in the meantime, we will hold accountability to power. So
that's correct.
Need to know news.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
News you need to know.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
A part of me that feels like we're in a dumpster fire right now, dude. I ain't got time for it, but we don't have any choice. Welcome to the podcast, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. God, I got a few different things I can talk about, and I just may take a brief little detour here and get away from complete politics to share a message with you from a friend of the show's. Well, he doesn't know we're friends, but we would like to befriend him, and that is Bill Burr, okay?
Okay.
We played on the podcast last week a snippet of him saying, you know, like, free Luigi, remember?
Yes. He was stuck at the castle with the princess.
Right, yeah. He says, free Luigi, and now comics are starting to talk about this billionaire issue that we have in our country. Bill Burr's got a podcast. He said this on that podcast, and I feel like Bill Burr may be the kind of president that you were just talking about. Someone straight, you know, the Democrat of Trump's, okay?
Okay.
See what you think.
The amount of people that are struggling out there because of these fucking billionaires, and they got us all arguing liberal and conservative. We got to stop doing that. Like, I am so tired of hearing about people going to bed worried about what's going to happen next week. There is so much fucking money in this country, and there's so much work being done, you know. And if you work a full fucking week at a job, you should be able to pay your fucking rent. You shouldn't have to go out and get another fucking job and still be struggling. It's bad for the country because then the kids don't see their parents and they're not getting the upbringing that they need. It's so fucking, these fucking billionaires, they need to be put down, you know, like fucking rabid dogs. Ooh. They're like rabid with fucking greed and just going out and just dividing everybody.
I don't think he could have spoke a truer statement in all of that.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, he's spot on in a lot of ways. And we've talked about on the show before that the wealth gap in this country is what's destroying everything. Because like you just said, you can't afford to have two parents at home. Like there was an era where one parent could work full time and the other one could be home full time and raising those kids. And that era is dead and over. And the second parent working full time, half their money's going to pay for childcare so they can make the other half their check. And yes, no one can just work a 40-hour a week job and afford the house like the Simpsons could. The three-bedroom, two-bath house with a car, you know, a garage attached. And like, yeah, that era is dead and gone. And I don't exactly know how government's going to get us back on track other than raising taxes on the super wealthy, trying to get some better infrastructure, maybe some minimum living wage like some European countries have, where they just write us all a check for a grand every month just to get us all out of poverty. And then you can go from there, kind of
get a baseline going.
Yeah, I mean, these things could happen if somebody actually stepped in and was a good leader. The only thing that I take some objection to with what he has said and some others of, like, you know, everyone's always worried that the world's going to fall apart now that Trump's in the White House. And it's because we've elected somebody who's abnormally damaging and toxic. He's going after children that I care about, gay, transgendered, minorities, women, like, there's some real damage going on. So I don't feel like liberals are just, you know, pants on fire running around spreading lies, or we're just all freaking out over nothing. Like, it's an unusually divisive and toxic time. So we're correct to be freaked out. But yeah, Bill's right. We got to get back to the middle one of these days.
And I don't think that he feels like, you know, it's undeserved, but I think he wants to everything to tone down so we don't have to have these arguments of, you know, running around standing up for people that we care about and people that we love. When you talk about, you know, somebody could come in and do this, my mind started to wander and I thought to myself, I don't know if there's any coming back from this. My heart doesn't feel that way, but my mind says, like, with how everything has changed, let's go back to, like, having to work two jobs, no parents home to raise kids. We wonder why all these kids are so fucking crazy and attached to their phones and, you know, consuming media the way that they are. We've raised a generation like that, a good solid in their 20s generation like that, and this is part of the result.
Yeah. It's a major ripple effect. Like I said, half the pay of one of the parents is going for childcare, but that's probably not paying for the best childcare. So you've got people that are underpaid raising your kids so that you can come home and see them at night, tuck them into bed, and rinse and repeat the whole next day. Like, this cycle's been building and building since the early 80s, and it's reached a tipping point. Because, yeah, you're right. Now we're a good generation into it, and we got to unwind that somehow. But, yeah. Fun stuff. I'm gonna go blow my head off now.
I mean, it is depressing. Everybody is waking up. You know, I might get away with a day or two where I wake up and don't think about shit that's going on right away, but for the most part, at least 5 days a week, I'm waking up with some sort of doom and gloom, or at least what is the fight involved today.
Yes. You know, have you seen the John Mulaney bit? It's going back a few years to the first Trump administration, but there's a horse in the hospital. This is not a bird in the mall. We've seen birds in malls before. That's common. There's a freaking horse in the hospital. What the hell is a horse doing in the hospital? Like, this is cause for alarm. That is not normal. No. Everyone pay attention. When Obama was president, you didn't need to pay attention. We didn't have a horse in the hospital. We had a sane person running the country. Now there's a fucking horse in the hospital. We should all be paying attention.
Such a great way to think about it, you know, because that's utter chaos, right? You want to get in there and pay attention and get that horse out of the hospital, or at least put a tranquilizer in him, you know, so he can't move as fast.
It's not normal. And what is Bill Burr talking about, though? We need to start putting down billions. You got to be careful with that sort of terminology.
Yeah, you know, he says we like rabid dogs, we got to put them down. And, you know, that's it makes you think like, oh, he's calling for them to be executed. But I don't know. I don't know what he's saying, dude. I don't know if that's exactly what he's saying. I can't imagine it is. But we got to stop them is what I took from it.
I would say we need to take them down, not put them down. You see the difference there?
You are a master of language, though, you know.
Well, so is Bill Burr. But, you know, because put them down, that's the Luigi Mangione stuff. And that cannot be the possible answer. But take them down as far as redistributing some of that wealth, increasing taxes on the mega wealthy. Like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Reinvested into this country in intelligent ways. And so, yeah, I don't know. I don't know who's going to lead that charge. I don't know how we really do that. Other than a president who actually cares about it. And obviously, if you elect a billionaire who staffs his administration with multiple other billionaires, they're not doing it.
No. I mean, that is the fear that, you know what, I read an article last week, and I wish I had it in front of me, but it talked about, you know, we're 10 years away from seeing trillionaires in our world.
Yeah.
And what kind of power a trillionaire would have, right? You think you can't buy the presidency? I mean, we have seen it on a lot of levels here, and we're talking about a billionaire, richest man in the world. But if we had 10 trillionaires in this, you know, world, who knows what's going to happen, dude? Trillionaires?
Yeah. It's going to happen. Musk may, in fact, be the first one to hit that threshold because of the amount of influence and corruption he's got with government funding and all of his companies. But, yeah, no, it's not too far off. It's just the divide's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm all for rewarding success. But there's a certain level where if you're not going to give that money back in the form of charities like Bill Gates does all the frickin' time, then we just may have to start taking some of that away from you. You know, I saw a thing with Bill Gates recently. He's worth $100 billion, I think it was. So if he gave away 99% of his wealth, he'd still have $1 billion. That's absurd.
It is, dude. And he's not nearly as rich as Elon Musk.
Right, who's worth now north of $500 billion. Yeah. So he is on track to probably be the first trillionaire. And yeah, it's freaking disgusting.
Yeah, I'm going to listen to Bill Burr. I'm not going to go take anyone out, but the other part of the message, that's, I love it.
This is the only news you need to know. After all, this is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Nuff said.
Hi, Stephen. This is Clem Fandango. Can you hear me?
Hi, Clem. Haven't been deported yet, huh?
No, he's living strong. Clem's white, dude.
Oh, that's right. He'll be fine. Okay. Never mind. Sorry. All right. Back on my theme here. I've got another political story. Then I think I'll switch gears. But everyone's sucking up to Trump, to King Trump in the MAGA world. I mean, we just did the story about them, you know, probably going to let him just ignore the court orders and whatnot. But there's just this trend of stupid, let's play to his narcissism by wasting government time, introducing bills that will never actually go anywhere, but you're just sucking up to Trump. So here's the latest, and then I'll recap some of the highlights of just the last 3 or 4 weeks here.
Oh, good.
Representative Buddy Carter, Republican from Georgia, has made a strong entry in the competition amongst Republicans in Congress to flatter King Trump with another piece of symbolic legislation. Carter introduced a bill just this week that would authorize President Donald Trump to purchase Greenland and rename it to Red, White, and Blue Land. This isn't a joke. This is not an Onion headline I'm reading.
Yeah, and it sounds like it. You know, it's not a joke at all. I mean, this is, you know, we're talking about wasting time and government efficiency. Like, what the flip are you doing, dude?
Red, White, and Blue Land. I mean, this sounds like an SNL bit, a punchline on Colbert or something. But yeah, someone that we elected to help shape our country has actually done this. This guy says America is back and will soon be bigger and better with the addition of Red, White, and Blue Land, Carter said in a statement. President Trump has correctly identified the purchase of what is now Greenland, what a dumb name, as a national security priority, and we will proudly welcome its people to join the Join Our Nation when our negotiator-in-chief inks this monumental deal. I mean, first of all, Greenland is not for sale. He's not ruled out military action. And I don't know how far he's really going to go with this. But yeah, I mean, it probably will be renamed either Red, White, and Blue Land or Trump Land or whatever.
Dude, you could just do it now, right? I mean, he renamed the we have Gulf of America now, and he writes it down on an executive order, and so it is law. Yeah, I mean, who knows? He's going to call Canada the 51st state, apparently. This is all so freaking dangerous, and the fact that people can't see that from every party, that this is dangerous, us invading land and taking it by force, if that's what it requires. Right. It is so crazy to me.
He promised, you know, he would be the president of no new wars or whatever, yet he's picking fights all over. Trudeau got caught on a hot mic moment saying that he's not screwing around with this, people. Like, I've talked to him. He really wants to take Canada. Like, this is not a joke, if anyone thought it was. And, you know, we got the Panama Canal going on. We now have him talking about weighing into the Middle East conflict that has been going on since biblical times, where he thinks he's just going to turn the Gaza Strip into the new Disneyland or something, and somehow that's not going to spark a war, not going to get the Palestinians bombing. I mean, it's absurd. So this Greenland thing is the latest. But like I said, there's been a few so far this year. Rep Anna Paulina from Florida introduced legislation to add Trump's face to Mount Rushmore. Representative McDonald, Republican North Carolina, pushed a bill to rename the Washington Dulles International Airport after Trump. We talked last week about this guy from Tennessee introducing a bill to amend the Constitution so Trump could run for a third term. Which isn't going to happen, but, you know, like, they just keep lining up to suck his ass.
They love it, dude, and they realize that the people who do that, they get somewhere. So, I mean, they're definitely selling their soul to the devil, but, yeah, who knows what they got to lose? I don't know. Maybe they're going to get go places in life.
One of the, I don't know, the thresholds or whatever for giving somebody security clearance is how easily can they be blackmailed or manipulated? And yeah, everybody knows how to manipulate Trump. So if you don't think Putin's doing that or Kim Jong, or, I mean, every foreign adversary, they know all they have to do is suck up. And this guy is such a sucker for being his, you know, getting his ass licked. We've seen him reward people that have done it. It will continue to happen.
Dude, you know what? We just saw it with from the president of Mexico and from Justin Trudeau. You know, I'm going to impose 25% tariff. You have 1 month. And they implement what they've already been doing, and they just sell it to him in that, in, you know, grandiose terms. And he's like, oh, yes, it's a great idea.
If I saw people manipulating Obama this easily, or even Biden or whatever, like, I would be concerned and alarmed. But again, MAGA is just lining up to fall in line and just go along with our new oligarchy, our new theocracy, our new just dictator-in-chief. King Trump, all hail, because they are so short-sighted. But the whole world is going to suffer the consequences.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
We know you do. Yeah. I can only hope that the death clock will, it's got to expire at some point, right? How old is he?
Oh, I thought you meant that global, like how close are we to Armageddon, which did just click another notch closer, by the way, closest in human history. But how old is Trump? What is he, 79 right now? About to be 80 or something?
Yeah. Yeah. So he's going to be a good, you know, he'll be 84 years old. I mean, that's where you start counting down. Like, I'm living on borrowed time.
Right. I saw a meme the other day that I was like, boy, I guess I'm not the only one thinking this. I'm paraphrasing, but it said something to the effect of, now when I check my morning news alerts, I'm waiting for the one that says Trump has passed away. You know, like, yeah, maybe that will come sooner than the other news alerts about him taking over Canada and Greenland and deporting everybody. Like, you know, which will happen first?
Yeah, who knows, dude? We can only thoughts and prayers, dude. That's what I'm doing right now, right? Yes.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Start the news chant, please.
Come on.
News.
Trump's definitely been in the spotlight every minute of every day. Some things more foolish than others, some things sillier than others. But we said on this program specifically, like, if Trump does something good, like, I'll talk about it. I'll say that's a good move, right? We said that that's how it's got to be.
That's funny, because my next article's on that topic. I'm curious if we both have the same one now. So, yes, what do you got?
Well, I want your opinion specifically on this item, all right? I'm going to play you a little audio from President Trump,
all right,
and see if you like this move.
Next, this is an executive order relating to the use of paper straws. As you've consistently identified, nobody really likes paper straws.
Number one trending. Can you believe it? A paper straw was number one trending for 3 days or something.
And we're asking your domestic policy council to look holistically at this issue, to address it. And it really is something that affects ordinary Americans in their everyday lives.
We're going back to plastic straws. These things don't work. I've had them many times. And on occasion, they break. They explode.
Wow.
If something's hot, they don't last very long, like a matter of minutes.
Less.
Sometimes a matter of seconds. It's a ridiculous situation. So we're going back to plastic straws. Yeah. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
And I don't think that plastic's going to affect a shark very much as they're eating, as they're munching their way through the ocean. Okay.
Your thoughts on the executive order, no more paper straws.
Right. Listen, I'm not a fan of wet paper. I'm not a fan of paper straws, but I'm also not dumb enough to understand, you know, or to not realize that you cannot pass an executive order to ban paper straws. We have a free market in this country. So if paper straw companies want to make paper straws, and if they sell well, then that's the benchmark as to whether or not they should exist or not. And right, if states or cities like in California want to ban plastic straws, that's not a federal thing. So again, it's America, everyone. It's the free market. You know, paper straws didn't just come about because we wanted them. We started to realize that, yeah, there are a lot of plastics on this planet that aren't going anywhere. They've been found in our semen. They have been found in our brains of late. Like, less plastic circulating this planet is a good idea. And straws are stupidly wasteful. You use them once, you throw them away. So it's another symbolic waste of time to have an executive order banning paper straws. You cannot dictate how the free market works that way.
It's like the war on Christmas, Steve. You know, like, people aren't saying Merry Christmas. We're taking that back. And you know, this is fake. I mean, these are for the headlines only of little things that his dumb voters, and I'm not saying everyone was dumb, some were manipulated, but A lot of them are dumb.
Yeah.
These are little quips to say, oh, well, look what he's doing. He's, you know, he's standing up for everyday issues like paper straws. And the guy reading it off of what the executive order is all about, like, this is a problem everyday Americans are facing. Like, you're so out of touch, dude, that you actually just said that. Right. As a problem. So, yeah, I don't know where we go from here, but he says dumb stuff like this just for his dumb constituents.
Yes. No, you're spot on. Don't dial that back. The vast majority are very dumb and uninformed. They are the definition of low information voters. And again, they're just falling into this king idea that King Trump has declared no more paper straws. As if the government was producing paper straws or something that he could control. And it's like the low flow toilets or shower heads. Like, those things exist for a reason. They're not as bad as he claims that there's no water pressure. I've never seen a paper straw explode in my face. What the hell is he even talking about?
I don't know, dude. And why? And you only think sharks live in the ocean. Right. You know, like, no, the turtles have more issues with them than the sharks. But
he's obsessed with sharks. Remember during the election, the whole, like, you know, what happened? Do you electrocute sharks with these, you know, electric powered boats and stuff?
Like, he had that little play school wheel that it'd be, you know, you'd pull the string and it'd be like, shark. Right. S is for shark. And he doesn't talk about any other aquatic life at all. So
that would make sense. He seems to have about an elementary school understanding of everything. So maybe that was the last thing on that wheel that came up, sharks. Now it's just...
It always stuck with me.
Or it's just the biggest movie he's seen. He loves Jaws. Just need some more movies about other aquatic things. What about Nemo, President Trump? I think the plastic's yes. bad for Nemo.
Yeah, I think it's bad for everybody, like you said. I mean, we're finding it in our semen and our brains, and microplastics are a bigger issue than you getting rid of paper straws. No one likes a paper straw, you moron. But we haven't come up with anything better. So
I've stopped using straws. Dana Carvey had a bit years ago about how dumb every man looks sucking on a straw, like, you know, puckering up your lips and sucking on it. So I've just stopped with straws. I don't know why we need them. It's fine.
You know what looks even worse is, you know, the tiny little straws that come in cocktails. Yeah. You know, sometimes they'll give you two or three of them, but trying to purse your lips around those tiny plastic straws and suck through them. Yeah, it's not the most manly thing in the world.
Right. Let's make America manly again. Just stop using straws already. Come on.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
All right. We did not pick the same story, though, but here's another one of, like, well, maybe Trump is up to something we can agree on. It seems odd, but when you get into it, I don't know. You give me your 2 cents on the story, Nick. All right. That joke will be funny in a second. President Trump is proposing that we get rid of the penny. Stop making the penny already. Trump has proposed. Now does my joke make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I get it now.
Good. I like my jokes to work in reverse order. So President Trump says he has directed the Treasury Department to stop minting new pennies, citing the rising cost of producing the 1 cent coin. Now, I've heard about this for a while, right? That it actually costs more than a penny to produce a penny. And that does seem a little upside down, right?
But it costs more to produce any coin. It costs more than a quarter to make a quarter.
I don't know. Let me read some of the facts in this article. I don't know if it's made it to the dimes and the quarters yet, nor do I know. Do coins have to be made out of copper or whatever? Can't we make plastic pennies? Or, like, why is the cost so much higher? There's no way in this modern world to make a penny for less than a penny.
We're getting rid of the copper penny. No one likes it. Right. Going to plastic pennies.
Well, he said for far too long, the United States has minted pennies, which literally cost us more than 2 cents. This is so wasteful. Trump wrote in a post on True Social. I've instructed my Secretary of the U.S. Treasury to stop producing new pennies. Now, there's a big debate as to whether you can actually do that. Normally, the way currency is produced in this country is controlled by Congress. But some people have said, like, well, I don't know. Like, if he tells this guy to just stop doing it, like, I guess he could. But do we need to? Trump has never discussed this before. Never during the campaign, never during his first term. But coincidentally, President Musk tweeted that, you know, highlighting the cost that the penny costs more. Every penny costs nearly 3 cents. The mint also loses money on the nickel. with each of the 5-cent coins costing nearly 14 cents to make. It is unclear whether Trump has the power to unilaterally eliminate the 1-cent coin. That usually would be done by Congress. But like I said, one law expert said that he probably could just tell the mint to stop doing it. Canada, back in 2012, they stopped producing their 1-cent piece. So this may not be a totally crazy idea. The finances don't seem to make sense. Canada seems to still be functioning. But what do you do as far as, does everything have to be rounded to the nearest 5-cent? I mean, I don't use coins ever, but they're legal for all transactions, public and private. So if someone wants to pay in coins, how would you do it if it was 6 cents that you owe?
Well, and even if you aren't paying with coins, I mean, when you pay with your debit card, you know, your balance is $8.32. Like, you're using pennies without you touching pennies, right. You know, always. So, yeah, that's what they talk about, the roundup, that it'll create out of force, not necessity, right? Mm. Everyone's going to be forced to just round up. Has Goodwill been preparing us for this for years? Is this what would you like to round up? You know, now we got to say it. My biggest issue with this is, okay, what will I do if I want your thoughts?
Oh.
What will I do when I don't see lucky children, you know, finding pennies and making wishes? What will I throw into a fountain? Like, this takes away a lot of things that I'm nostalgic about.
The fountain thing, you're cheap. You can't throw a quarter in there?
I mean, come on, no.
Step it up. And I'll just Venmo you for your thoughts. A Venmo for your thoughts, Nick? What do you... Instead of a penny for your thoughts?
I don't like it. I don't like that at all. That's not how it's supposed to be. And finding a penny on the ground and saying, oh, lucky penny, like all that goes away?
Apparently. I will tell you, and maybe I shouldn't be proud of this, but if I'm cleaning, like if I find a few pennies, I throw them away.
Yeah. You know, I wish I could. I want to be outraged at you, but I'm not saying that I haven't done the same. Like, you know, if I find pennies in my car and there's, you know, in the cup holder, they're sticky from pop or something, right. Like I toss them, dude.
Yes. Occasionally, when I go into the pot shop, which is the only place I shop that requires cash anymore, I will occasionally scrape a few quarters, dimes, and if I'm really desperate, I'll get a couple of nickels out of my console or something. But pennies, I cannot scrape up pennies to go pay for something. I can't do it. It just feels too, I don't know. I don't know what the right word is. It feels too homeless man to me.
Thrifty. Yeah, it's too thrifty for you. Right. Well, dude, I'll tell you something that I have a bag, Crown Royal bag. And whenever I do use cash, I always put my change in it, you know, when I'm going to bed at night.
Yeah.
Just slip the change in there. And it's crazy how that bag adds up, for especially even for me, because I don't use cash that often. But when I have coins, I put them in there. We won't be able to do that anymore with pennies anyway.
Yeah. The Coinstar Corporation will lobby heavily against this for obvious reasons.
Hopefully so, dude.
But yeah, no, it's a legitimate question, though, because you do still have to accept actual cash for all transactions, public and private, unless we're going to redo that law and reprint all of our money. So yeah, everything would have to be rounded up if you're paying with debit, I guess. I mean, that would just be a way to stick it to us all. If the total is $8.36, they're just allowed to bump it up to $8.40.
Yeah.
Because they can't discriminate against anyone who doesn't have pennies.
Right. That's what it would force. So I don't think it's a good idea. Like you said, you know, why don't we have China make our pennies, dude? Why don't we? Someone can make them cheaper than we can, right?
I would think. I don't know. It's an interesting conundrum to be in. What do we do with pennies? But again, Canada did it. They've survived. So apparently it's possible. So this is a Trump notion that I'm not just going to say is batshit crazy like most of his. Like, you could be onto something, but it is going to cause some problems. So I would like to know your answer. Can we not make them cheaper, or how do we stop rounding up? Because you know those pennies over the course of every day, every transaction across America, that's going to equate over the course of a year to $1 billion extra we all just paid for stuff because we don't have pennies, when most of us don't even use pennies to begin with. But now we all just are paying more because we eliminated the penny.
This is my guess, okay? It's going to be called, you'll just have to round up, pennies gone, and it'll be called the penny tax. And all that money from the roundups is a tax And that's how he's going to create more wealth for this country.
That's assuming he would put the tax dollars towards something good and useful. And no one wants their taxes raised. And so I don't know. I need some smarter people than us to really vet this out. And what happens to all the pennies in circulation? Like, this is quite an issue.
It is quite an issue. You know, they stopped making the $2 bill, right, a long time ago. Anytime I get a $2 bill, I save it because I feel like they're kind of lucky. So I can still spend a $2 bill.
Yes.
They don't make them anymore. So you could still spend a penny. See, people would have to still take them.
That's probably true. And I suppose the value of the penny would start to go up. The further into this we get, the more collectible they would theoretically become.
Yeah.
But again, not going to say batshit crazy, but I think you're opening a can of worms here. So curious to see where this goes.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Let's take over Greenland first, and then we'll figure out the penny, okay?
Yeah, and the paper straws and all that. Yeah, let's do that.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
All right. What do we talk about here? Well, we should probably talk about a couple of the things that Trump said from this past week that has some people's jaws dropped, or some people at least questioning where does that leave us? Trump recently made some comments on the hostage release. Hamas should release the hostages, and he gave them a swift warning. This is what he said.
As far as I'm concerned, if all of the hostages aren't returned by Saturday at 12 o'clock, I think it's an appropriate time. I would say cancel it and all bets are off and let hell break out. I'd say they ought to be returned by 12 o'clock on Saturday. And if they're not returned, all of them, not in drips and drabs, not two and one and three and four and two. Saturday at 12 o'clock. And after that, I would say all hell is going to break out.
Wow. I mean, that is quite the threat, quite the negotiation from a guy who wrote Art of the Deal. Where do you see it going? Do you see people who was just like, well, I guess we better give him back?
Yeah, first of all, like I mentioned earlier, like his knowledge seems to be based on pop culture, like watching Jaws and being worried about sharks. Why do you think he picked High Noon? Why does that number jump into his head?
Yeah, is it a Dirty Harry? I'll meet you at noon.
Yeah, or a lifetime of Westerns. It was always, you know, a showdown at High Noon, you know. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, this conflict in the Middle East has been going on forever. No one's ever been able to solve it. The two-state solution makes sense, but no one ever wants to do it. You start relocating people, it's just going to blow up in your face, and I mean that literally. So, you know, this tenuous hostage release situation, part of me thinks that everyone's so freaked out by Trump that they really may believe he may nuke the entire Middle East if they don't do what he says. So, hey, maybe on one level they'll snap into gear, but the more you paint someone in a corner, the more they're probably not going to give you what you want. So I don't know. And is Trump really prepared to send our military into the Middle East to what? Free these hostages and start bombing Hamas? I mean, again, I thought he was the president of no new wars. This would be a major debacle of a war, either trying to force the prisoner or the hostages out, or try to take over the Gaza Strip and turn it into Disneyland. I just don't see how this doesn't end badly for us.
Yeah, I don't either. And the thing is, yeah, I mean, you flirted with the idea, but if you're going to make a threat like this, like, you have to be willing to follow through. It can't be, you know, thinly veiled threat, like, you know, well, maybe we won't do something so bad. I mean, he used the terminology, all hell is going to break loose. Is that carpet bombing? Like, what is it, dude? You know, and I guess we're going to find out Saturday at High Noon.
Well, it would be all hell. Because the reason it's hard to get at these hostages is they have human shields all around them. Innocent civilians that are in these buildings or neighboring around them. And so it's why we haven't sent SEAL Team 6 in already, just to get them out. It's a quagmire.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. Come noon on Saturday, if he does not let all hell rain down, then they're going to know he's full of shit. It's just like these tariff negotiations, quote unquote. Like, as soon as you know he's blustering, now we've lost all credibility and high ground, then you almost have to go start a war over there just to try to regain some leverage.
You bring up a good point. It's the same with these tariff wars. You know, he's extended them by 30 days because he's seen a little give. Man, maybe that's what he'll do. you know, is just say, hey, I'm extending it another week, high noon on the 28th, because we're kind of talking, you know.
Right.
But who knows what he's going to do. But it just, when we talked earlier in the show about like waking up and thinking, oh, the world's falling apart. This is the shit, dude, that I think like, oh, these are huge wars that could start. You know, 10-year, 20, 30-year wars, and who knows where they come. Do you ever fear that war will come on our soil?
Oh, boy, no. I legitimately don't. I loved Red Dawn in the 80s, great movie about Russians invading us here in America and us all taking up arms, but no, I mean, that would have to be some global attack on us because, I mean, we just have too big of a military, too big of systems to actually let an army get onto our soil and be fought here. Even if somehow they did, I would imagine that would just be squashed immediately. But to have us be sucked into other global wars, yeah, that's absolutely possible. And likely, given the rhetoric he's throwing out there, and these aspirations of getting into the Middle East and Greenland and Panama and Canada, like, I don't know how that's not going to start global wars. And again, MAGA's just falling in line. Forever, it was America first, like, screw these other countries, stop giving them aid, stop sending our troops to this country, that country, like, only worry about us. And then Trump wins. It's like, hey, maybe we should take over half the world, including allies of ours. This seems like a great idea all of a sudden.
You don't even fear nuclear war?
Well, I mean, only if we beat someone like Russia into the corner where that's their only choice. Because the classic nuclear deterrent is the fact that if you nuke us, we're nuking you. Everyone's dead. There is no winner in a global nuclear war. That's what holds it at bay. So if Russia is so freaking desperate, or if we allow an enemy state like Iran or North Korea to actually build up a true nuclear arsenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a distinct possibility. I'd like to think we'd squish them all before they could get us. But, you know, you may lose L.A. or New York before that happens.
Well, you've got Pete Hegseth on the job, dude. You know, like hopefully he'll be keeping us safe and keeping harm at bay.
No, the classic threat is what it has been and will still be, and that's terrorism. Someone getting into our country with a dirty bomb or something like that. Like an actual other nation just declaring full nuclear war. Like we're already in apocalyptic era if that were to happen. So,
you ever worry again about another COVID? You know, I mean, that's what a lot of people think. Oh, it was developed exactly for it. They tested it out. You worry about that, right?
Yes. A biological weapon is on that same front as a dirty bomb or something. It's something that somebody can easily, on a one-person basis, let loose into this world. Even if they got it from a government, you know, that'd be hard to prove and everything. But yeah, no, dirty bombs, EMPs, wiping out power grids and all that stuff. And yeah, biological weapons, it's a problem.
So these are things that bother me when I'm trying to go to sleep at night, so...
Yes. I've got two stories that are non-political that I want to throw out, but one of them is still apocalyptic.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Bring that one to the table.
All right. So here's the thing. I don't know if you've heard about this. It's been buried at the bottom of the news cycle recently, which is kind of funny, but it's a possibility that in December of 2032 that an asteroid's going to hit planet Earth and potentially cause massive devastation.
Now I got to worry about that shit, dude.
Yes, you do. NASA has made an emergency decision over a, quote, city-killing asteroid. Astronomers predicted that the asteroid 2024 YR4 currently has just about a 2.5% chance of colliding with Earth in December of 2032. That percentage, by the way, went up from when they first discovered it a few months ago. As the risk increases, an international team of astronomers has been granted use of the James Webb Space Telescope to determine just how much damage the space rock would cause and if it is truly on track to hit us. Now, this would probably not end life on planet Earth like with the dinosaurs or that size of an asteroid, but this thing's apparently about the size of the Statue of Liberty, and it would demolish an entire city, kick all sorts of dust and debris up into the atmosphere, potentially causing... massive climate change with weather patterns, the sun being, you know, kind of blocked out.
But do we know, which city would be taken out? You know, can we pinpoint it?
No. Could we nudge it towards the deep south or something? Like, I don't know, maybe, but
break Florida's leg off or something, you know?
Yeah, use it to our advantage. So I don't know, less than 3% chance, but I don't want to hear that there's any chance that in the next, 8 years, we could have an asteroid hit the Earth. And I will say there are some experts, though, that have said that we've been tinkering with technology as to how do you redirect an asteroid. We did have a successful test in recent times where we collided a satellite, I think it was, into an asteroid. And it, you know, you're talking out in the cosmos. If you can just deflect it just a fraction of a centimeter over the course of time, it's going to veer way off in some other direction. So NASA's watching it. They're going to keep their eyes. They want to see if the odds go up. And we do have measures that we could, in theory, do to sway this thing one way or the other. And Bruce Willis is not one of them.
Bruce Willis can't get on there and drill, dude.
No. I mean,
that was our best hope, to be honest with you. Like, put those guys up there. Yeah.
On a quick side note, I was standing in line at the grocery store with Kennedy the other day, and there's something about Demi Moore is dating Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
And I said, well, hey, at least Bruce won't know about it, or he at least won't remember that Demi Moore is dating Andrew Garfield. That's a silver lining.
He'll have to relive it every day, dude.
Don't put that article in front of him. So.
Right.
So, yeah, so there you go. There's one doom and gloom thing there. Asteroid potentially coming in 2032. In related news, though, I'll just make this quick. We talked an episode or two back about the fact that scientists more so than ever believe that probably the building blocks of life did crash on Earth from a asteroid hitting Earth, because they took samples of an asteroid out in the cosmos and found the genetic building blocks for DNA, for RNA, for carbon-based life forms.
So, some of them, not all of them.
Exactly, but enough that that could have done it. And that, of course, brought up the question of if the building blocks of life are floating around the cosmos on an asteroid, could there not be life somewhere else in this great expansive universe of ours? Well, alien life breakthrough possible as astronomers have detected a, quote, coherent radio signal from a distant planet.
Come on. It is, in all honesty here, dude, have you ever seen the movie Contact?
Sure. Yeah.
So they've been thinking about this, you know, stuff for a long time as, you know, science fiction. You're telling me that we found something that's real?
They have found other radio signals coming from deep space that have not been, quote unquote, coherent, that they have ultimately figured out that it's got to be caused by some phenomenon. We don't totally know yet on this one, but astronomers, I had a hard time with that word. Astronomers have detected a coherent radio signal from a distant planet, reigniting hope of extraterrestrial life. The signal is thought to originate from a far-off Earth-sized planet, suggesting that it might possess a magnetic field similar to our own. Scientists think that a planet, if it can sustain life, would have to have a magnetic field around it to protect it from, you know, radiation from its star or whatever.
Sure.
And as Nick and I know, being radio guys, the Earth has an electromagnetic spectrum. That is how you broadcast AM and FM radio and television. We discovered years ago how to take advantage of those little ranges on the spectrum, whether it's 93.9 or 101.7. Like, that's why your radio has those specific dials. We have learned how to electrify and transmit data over the electromagnetic spectrum.
Sure. And I mean, to think that it could come from so far away, people that don't know, that are too young or just not in the know, like, do you know what a shortwave radio is? Because, you know, I have a radio here that when it's clear outside, I can tune in to Japan. I can tune in to other places around the world, and it's just a cheap little radio, right?
Exactly. So it's that same concept, that it can bounce around the planet like this. It can also be bouncing around the cosmos. So Joe Pesci, not the actor, from the NSF, who works as the program director for the National Radio Astronomy Observatory, hails these discoveries as key in the ongoing quest to find life on other worlds, emphasizing the search for potentially habitable or life-bearing worlds in other solar systems depends in part on being able to determine if a rocky Earth-like exoplanet actually has a magnetic field. And again, this signal is not currently being determined as random. They're saying there's some coherent consistency to it, which would suggest it's being manufactured, not just a naturally occurring phenomenon. Not saying we found ET definitively, but scientists are looking at this as, this is odd. This is more definitive than they've seen with some of these other radio signals.
Yeah, we'll have to find out more about it. I mean, there's a distinct possibility, dude, that it could just be a radio station on that planet. switching formats, playing a heartbeat, you know, over and over again, like, you know, one of the radio stunts. It could be that.
It could be.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to find out. I would love if we heard something, you know, if we actually had communication that we could understand from another world, dude, that would be nuts.
Yes. And this other planet, by the way, is 70 trillion miles away. So it's a heck of a commute. So maybe they need radio for that long commute. But I will say we're doing the same thing, by the way. We're beaming our radio signals out into the cosmos. I forget what it was, but there's some there's like Elvis or something and some classic literatures that we're just beaming out in the cosmos, hoping someday somebody finds it and then comes back to us, which hopefully doesn't backfire is in the form of global domination for us. But
yeah, we're sending our biggest, best and brightest wave out and it's got Elvis still on it.
Yeah, well, it's classics, you know,
classic rock.
Well, you want Ariana Grande on there? We don't know if she's timeless yet. Elvis is still the test of time.
Yeah, I guess. But put the Beatles on there. I mean, put a loop on. Give these guys something to listen to.
Yeah, really. Don't be like traditional radio. Just play the same crap over and over.
Right, yes.
So there you go. Some news from the cosmos.
Well, good, dude. The crazier this world gets, the more I become hopeful for another world showing up and saying, like, we got you, dude, if you want to come over here.
Yeah, they could show up and go, you know what? No, thanks. We're going to find another planet 70 trillion miles away.
This one's nothing to do with that mess, dude.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. See our socials, please.
Please do. Reddit, YouTube, TikTok. We love them. They're on there. Blue Sky is great. We're on Threads, Instagram, Facebook, and some other things probably. I lose track. And our website, thevocalminority.net.
Yes, go check it out now. And thanks for joining the podcast. We'll see you next time.
What up, players? It's your boy, M. You're listening to two of the dopest guys in the game, Nick and Steve, and The Vocal Minority. Stop worrying about mom's spaghetti and just make sure you're locked in every week. Peace, y'all.